When artist and photographer Jessamyn Lovell had her identity stolen, she became obsessed with the woman who did it, Erin Hart. She hired a private investigator to track Hart, and she documented the experience and turned it into a show, Dear Erin Hart. That followed a previous work called No Trespassing, where she tracked her father and photographed him as a way to come to terms with their troubled relationship when she was a child. Lovell is training now to become a fully licensed private investigator, creating commissioned artworks for and in collaboration with client collectors. She'll host a fundraising dinner on September 10th in Albuquerque that will also help her build this new show, which opens next year at Central Features Contemporary Art. That's where I sat down to talk with her.
Jessamyn, talk about this latest project. It's a riff or a sort of a continuation of two previous ones that you did. Can you talk about those?
Yeah, sure. The PI project is a project that has honestly been a collaboration from the very beginning. I do see it as a sort of continuation or a new sort of fold in what I started with Dear Erin Hart, and then prior to that, No Trespassing, where I found and followed my father. With Dear Erin Hart, I was tracking this one individual, my identity thief, this woman who had stolen my identity in San Francisco. And I, through that process, it was about three-year process of finding, following her and photographing her and learning about her, it intrigued me in terms of my own practice of making art and investigative strategies into this new sort of system or practice that I've developed, which is to involve collaborators. So the collaborators are my clients, and these are clients that are legit, need private investigation skills to solve a problem, or need those kinds of skills to figure out. What I found all along the way, and you know, Nancy at Central Features has definitely been a part of it from the very beginning, from just saying, wow, that's a really good idea, you should go ahead and do that. My husband as well, like people all along the way who've given me input in the project, I realize are key collaborators. So that's a big change in the work, is the new project is built on this previous documentary kind of background that I have, but then it's moving into this more conceptual approach and collaborative approach, really, with my clients and with the people who inform the work.
So the idea is you're getting your private investigator license. You'll have clients come to you saying, whatever people hire PIs for, like my spouse is cheating on me, or I need to find my sister or something, and you'll take that on, but then you'll document it as you go along?
Basically, in a nutshell, as crazy as that sounds. So it's a multi-fold, right? It's like got all these different folds to it. But at the core of it is that I'm genuinely, earnestly, and truly working towards getting my license. So I am focused on getting those hours. So that can be the paralegal work I've been doing over the years. I've been working with a local lawyer here doing paper document service. So showing up to people's doorsteps and you've been served, that kind of work. To searching for one friend's lost cat unsuccessfully, to helping to return packages places that they need to go. So all of these different things add up to these hours that are going into the investigative license. Now, hopefully I'll get the license by the end of 2017, and then I will be able to take on more, you know, probably, I mean, I'm taking on some pretty serious cases. I did have a missing husband case, but I'm totally ill-equipped to do some of the things that people want me to do. And so through, you know, stumbling and awkwardly trying to figure out the tools, that's how I'm learning to be a better PI, to be a private investigator. So that's why I say right now is sort of phase one, I'm in training. I'm a PI in training. And yes, the entire process, the art part of it is documenting that earnest, genuine effort and the kind of performative aspects to it too, because that's another big fold to it artistically. But also I think just in our everyday, we all have performative roles. So I'm exploring that a little bit too.
Remind people about No Trespassing and Erin Hart, because you basically took two people who had wronged you in different ways and sort of turned the tables on them in a way.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. I mean, I think that the tendency with both of those projects, No Trespassing was photographic exploration or a sort of investigation of my father. And I was estranged from him for probably about 10 years before I decided to do the project. And we became estranged when I was a young girl, but then we came together again later and tried to sort of get to know each other a little bit unsuccessfully. And because of his, you know, his narcissism, I really found that difficult as his daughter to really access him in a real, genuine way. So I ended up estranging myself from him actually for a decade before I decided, you know, maybe I need to give this another look. Let me take a look at what his life is like without him knowing. And so really turning the tables of power where, you know, I had an experience with him as a young girl where he had been, was in the process of divorcing my mom and was following me. And, you know, there was attempted kidnappings and all this sort of like really intense violations of privacy and safety and things like that. And so I really had this anger that I think I didn't realize was really driving that project until I discovered that actually I could find empathy for him. And it was a real moment for me personally. I was very deep in therapy at that time, and I had this realization that this work is therapeutic. It's also artistic and it's conceptual, but it's also a document of this relationship and for whatever dysfunctions are there. I was learning and growing from the experience. And then with Aaron Hart, I did a similar thing, but in a way that I was trying to just learn, like I was taking those lessons from learning about him in that, my father in that process, and applying them to this woman who is a stranger and saying, well, how could I find empathy for this woman who is a stranger, who didn't know anything about me, who committed this crime against me? How can I find out a way to understand her story and explain the sort of situation or understand it better? And that was the real drive from the beginning with that work. I mean, I always say, like, I'm not going to lie, I was mad at her, of course, but I never had this feeling of like ill will, like I wanted to get her or, you know, take her out or whatever. You know, I just really wanted to understand her and take that power back and say, you got to use my identity for 6 weeks to do whatever it is. I hope that worked out for you. Obviously it didn't because she got arrested, but, and use it to my advantage and say, how can I make art out of this? How can I make something beautiful out of this difficult experience? And so I guess what I'm trying to do is to take these relationships with these clients and to take this situation with a client that's a really difficult situation and try to take it apart a little bit and really explore, like, how can we learn from it? How can it be this fruitful darkness or this difficult moment? How can we make use of it?
You said that Jessica Jones is one of your inspirations. It was a kick-ass show that was on Netflix. Really strong woman. What struck me is that a lot of people have looked at her character as essentially a rape victim taking back her power. Mm-hmm. And is it too big a stretch to say this is a common theme running through what you were doing?
Yeah, I mean, she's really a big inspiration. That character, that comic book character, is a really big inspiration. And then when the movie came, or the show came out on Netflix, I was just enamored. And I loved the actor that depicted her and all of the actors, actually, I was really super into for different reasons. But I loved that she is flawed as a character, that she does have this past, she does have this sort of, she's seeking retribution, but that she is empathetic and she's beholden to other people, like not beholden, but she's has responsibility, you know, for her friends and for her loved ones that she's hurting, you know, and it's almost like this masochism that's leading her down this path. But again, it's all mixed in together. It's like retribution and revenge, but then also this like love, you know, she does. There's love in everything that she's doing.
In spite of herself.
I know, exactly. And then she's sort of fighting herself, you know, which I love. And I mean, she's just like a hot lady with superpowers and like, I mean, what's not to like, you know? So, yeah.
Do you anticipate, is it difficult, well, you've already done some of it, but to walk the line between, you have dual or maybe multiple purposes here, like to help them, whatever they need done, but also or creating art or documenting this process, has there been a time do you anticipate a time where those might clash?
Yeah, I mean, there have been moments, like when Nancy and I were putting together Nancy's Astu deal at Central Features Gallery. Central Features a Contemporary Art is showing my piece in 2017 in the summer. We were trying to promote the piece and send a press release out, and every image that I was sending her, I had to stop myself and be like, wait a minute, oh, that's of someone's floor. And I have to ask them first, like, this is my client that's anonymous, like, and they're still uncovering evidence of this situation. And so it was like, it's these negotiating, everything is negotiated. And so also, like, I really should be developing like a legal contract with every client. And so that's always a negotiation. So I think if I have to choose which I'm prioritizing, the art or the PI work, I think no matter what, the art will exist and it will be there. And so I try to honor that client relationship. And I do feel like I get to be this artist who has clients. Like, that's kind of exciting. And it falls into this whole other, you know, realm, is that paid or not, there's a respect, sort of like mutual respect that happens. So I just try to really work with people that are open. I'm letting people come to me right now. I'm not like going out and saying, hey, you had this thing happen to you, can you work with me? You know, but I'm really trying to let people come to me that know, full disclosure, like what it is I'm up to. And the one person that really didn't know me at all before they hired me, she totally got what I was trying to do when I explained it. And that was important to me. So far, most people have been really understanding and open, but I also am just doing PI work that has nothing to do, like, that I'm not documenting. Like, I'm not going to document every paper service I do. Maybe I will. I don't know. So far I have, but I don't intend that everything will have as much weight, you know.
This is Women's Focus. I'm Megan Kamrick, and I'm speaking with artist and educator Jessamyn Lovell about her new work in progress, The PI Project. It follows her previous work, Dear Erin Hart and No Trespassing, where she used a combination of surveillance, self-portraits, and documentation to focus on her father and also on the woman who stole her identity.
Now, when you were sort of quote-unquote stalking Erin and your father with long, long lenses on camera, is it voyeurism? Did you get a kick out of it? Did it feel empowering to take that back?
Yeah, I see a part of it that felt that way. Certainly with my father, absolutely. Sitting in the woods for hours at a time with a lens pointed at his door, carefully observing is the legal language that I use, not stalking, extremely empowering. And especially with the thoughts going through my head of all of the fear of my own safety. My family ended up having to go up to Canada and stay in Canada for a while. We live very close to the border to escape, you know. And I mean, and there's
from him,
yeah. And there are, I mean, and that all is in question. So all of those stories that I tell around that, those are all in question because those were all my recollections as like a 12-year-old, you know. And then through my mom's lens, who, you know, was in the middle of this divorce with a man who just come out of the closet to her, you know. So there was a lot of heightened emotion around all of it. With Erin Hart, you know, honestly, it started with like, I'm going to get a photograph of her. It's going to be like, that's the goal here, right? And I'm going to sit outside of the jail and wait for her to come out and get this photograph. And I've got to get this photograph. And then as soon as I saw her, the minute she came around the corner, I just sank. My heart sank. Like, all of a sudden it occurred to me, no one came to meet her. No, like, the empathy really kicked in. And I wish I could be that person that was like, yeah, I was totally removed and I was empowered. But instead, I started to feel sad and not like like embarrassed for her or pathetic, but just I could empathize with her. And I felt like, then I had to really question what I was doing to her or for me, or, you know, and then I started to take it apart after I had the photographs. To get the photographs, I had to. But then what do I do with these photographs? That was weighing very heavily on me for a long time. Not too long. I knew I needed to make art out of it. But yeah, so yes, it was empowering, but there was also, it brought up a lot of questions. And also for this project I've been working on, the PI project, I have been photographing people without them knowing, surreptitiously. And there have been some processes I've been going through with that for this dinner coming up that I'm doing, this big event. And it feels like different when I don't know the person or I'm going to remove some of the clients I've gotten very close with. And so I do feel like protective in a way. And then I'm photographing these people I'm supposed to be following. And so there's like this back and forth. It's like a seesaw. It's like this back and forth of like empowerment or sort of like, I'm going to be proactive and take this picture. But then there's another part of me that's like, ooh, but how far is too far, you know? And that's always, that's the fun. That's the fun in it, I think, for me.
I was just curious if Susan Sontag is lingering in the back of your mind, her famous essay.
Of course. Oh, of course. I mean, and also I've really been engaged with this idea of suffering and that we're all suffering and been going through, you know, my own suffering and observing, you know, people close to me suffering. And so there is a part of it too, where I try to respect and honor that people are suffering in these moments. And what does that mean to be making art out of someone else's suffering or benefiting? And for when it was my suffering, it seemed like I owned that. You know, it felt like, oh, I own this. And that's where I think it came from with Aaron Hart. That questioning was, oh, she's suffering. And so I'm capitalizing on this suffering. And so it felt somehow more of a question, I want to say. Not like, oh, no, this isn't right or whatever. But that, yeah, definitely. Oh, Susan Sontag is definitely always like, right, like channeling that. Yeah.
Talk about the event that's coming up for this project.
Sure. So I'm still in the early stages of training to be a private investigator. And so the PI project is active, and we're leading up to this in a year to opening this exhibition. And as a fundraiser and kind of like a way to get people interested in A, hiring me as a client or hiring me as a PI, and then also B, like to plant the seeds of that this thing is happening and it's local, it's pretty specific to Albuquerque right now, which is new for me. I've mostly been working out of state back in the Bay Area where I moved from 7 years ago. And so Nancy Zastudiel at Central Features had mentioned that she had heard of Dig and Serve, this speakeasy pop-up dinner. We met with them and pitched the idea of having this dinner event. And so they were totally excited about it. They're super excited about anything collaborative and art-related in conjunction with their local organic amazing dinners. But one of the things that they do, it's speakeasy, like it's a supper club. So you don't know the location until about a day before, 24 hours before. And we thought, how perfect. Speakeasy, like secret and pop-up and all of that seemed to fit really well with the concepts I was working with. And so we together have been planning this dinner for 32 guests on September 10th. And the location is still undisclosed at this time, but we are going to host an amazing organic, fresh, locally sourced dinner in partnership with Dig and Serve. They're taking care of the dinner part of it, and then I'm creating this score that I've been working on as a performance throughout the evening. So every course has its own activity or action that each guest goes through in order to understand and uncover my investigative process. So it's really highlighting the project. It's fully immersive, so in every way. So even the photographer that we just met with, it's going to be coming, Clark Conde, he's part of it. You know, the servers are part of it. I have performers that are going to be coming and interacting with myself and the guests as part of it. So there are blindfolds. There will be wine. It will be shenanigans of all types. But basically, the guests are part of this immersive, interactive art experience while also being able to enjoy this incredible meal. It's something I've never done before. I don't know that anyone involved has fully really done anything quite like it. But I'll be excited to see what unfolds and what happens.
Now, the one purpose is to raise money to help you finish your private investigator licensure, and the other is to maybe contribute to what will be the project next year, or it's unknown.
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah. I mean, the hope is that all 32 guests will become part of the final piece in some way or another. I mean, in a sense, all 32 of them are, you know, I don't want to give too much away, spoil it, but they are, in a sense, clients in different ways, and they don't know it yet, but they will. And so how that all pans out, whoever signs the release and shows up may or may not end up in the exhibition next year. But the main purpose for me is really engaging them in the process of making the work in one way or another. So that dinner is one place that can happen and will happen for all of them in some way or another. But then also I'm introducing them and trying to educate them around Patreon and what I've been using as a platform for raising money for the project, sort of Kickstarter style, but with this idea of more long-term. So people can support the project in little increments long-term. firm. And then it's also a platform for me to do the performances, to update people with videos. And I'm working on a podcast right now version of the updates. So there's a lot of pieces I want to put in place with Patreon. And it's kind of just, I'm experimenting and getting it off the ground. So I'm hoping that those 32 people showing up to the dinner will want to engage in that way as well. And again, it's not purely, you know, it will exist. The project work will exist. I will make it happen in one way or another. But the more people are contributing and participating, not just monetarily, but also participation-wise, the more of the audience there is and the more chances for interventions and interactions there are.
Why do you want to be a private investigator? What? You're a photographer, you're an artist, and now you've got the itch after doing this.
Yeah. So the private investigator for me, it's twofold, and I can't give a ton away about it before I have my license, but I'm planting the seeds to have this like other practice, this other approach to experiencing life. And again, it has to do with this idea of suffering, and it has to do with experiencing the world through other people's problems, and then helping them come up with the solutions. I'm an educator, and I like to keep my mind fresh and curious. And so if I see a path I want to follow, I try to like grab onto it and see where it goes. So I may be just going down this rabbit hole that just turns out to be like a dead end, or I don't know, but it's an experiment. And it's also about using my already investigative art practice and folding in this practical element. It's just such a huge undertaking and challenge that it comes naturally to me to do something, to take something on like that. There are definitely moments where I'm wondering if I'm in my right mind, because I also have a 4-year-old and a husband and like family. So it takes a lot of time and energy, because I'm also, you know, a lecturer at UNM, and there's a lot of facets to it. But for me, it's about problem solving and about finding ways to interfold that, or find different entry points into art making.
Well, Jessamyn Lovell, thank you for talking to us for Women's Focus.
Absolutely. Thank you for talking to me.
You can find out more about Jessamyn Lovell and the September 10th event at centralfeatures.com. Parts of the event will also stream live on her Facebook page, and you can also find a link to the story about her on This American Life at the Women's Focus page at kunm.org. For Women's Focus, I'm Megan Kamarick.